This is Dr. William R. Glaze, Senior Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh. As the founder and CEO of Anchored in Jesus radio broadcast, I'm grateful that you are listening to us. As a thank you for tuning into our program, we invite you to go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and subscribe to our weekly devotional. Everyone who subscribes will receive their choice of either an Anchored in Jesus coffee mug or Anchored in Jesus t-shirt. The promotion will run now through Friday, November 24th. At the end of the promotion, we will have a drawing and randomly two names. Each of these two individuals will receive a basket of Anchored in Jesus merchandise, including one of my books entitled Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Also, we'd love to hear your thoughts about our program. Please go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and leave a comment. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Believer Steward in God's Economy.
We started a message, and the title of the message was God's Economy. As we look at our world today, we see that this world's economy is in pretty bad shape. We talked about the fact last week that inflation grew at its fastest clip over the last, this past year than it did over a 40-year period. We said over the past 2 years, the median income fell from 3%, fell 3%, while the cost of living rose 7%. We said that Americans are spending on average $276 more per month than a year ago. And the gas prices are up 48.7% in the last year. Now, I know that they've dropped a little bit in the last month, but as of this message, when I started preaching it last week, in the last month, it was up 4.1%. So we see that the economy of the world operates on a different system than God's economy. And so that's what we started talking about last week, and we're going to continue to talk about God's economy. Let me very quickly just review some of the highlights of last week's message. We said that when the rest of the world is experiencing a famine, that there is provision in God's economy. If you'll go to that next slide, please. The one before that. There you go. All right. We started out in Genesis 41, 54, and it says, "And the 7 years of famine began to come, just as Joseph has said. Then there was a famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt, there was bread." In all the land of Egypt, there was bread. There was a famine in the rest of the world, but yet and still, where God was speaking to Joseph, there was bread. We talked about the fact that Pharaoh had a dream, and in Pharaoh's dream, he had this dream of seven robust cows, and then we see that seven lean cows came and ate the seven robust cows, and then he had another dream of seven healthy stalks of corn, and we see that the seven withered stalks of corn came and devoured the seven healthy stalks of corn. And so he didn't understand what the dream meant. He was confused by it. And the chief butler remembered, hey, he said that when I was in prison, there was a bad boy there named Joseph. And he was able to interpret dreams. And so Pharaoh calls Joseph. And Joseph says, let me just make one thing clear, that I can't interpret the dream. However, it's not me, but it's God. We needed a wake-up call. All right. So he interprets the dream, and basically the dream said that there would be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of prosperity, and that they were to save up during those 7 years because just as Joseph predicted, that's exactly what happened. But Joseph gave Pharaoh a piece of advice. He said, now you need to appoint somebody over the affairs of Egypt so that they can make sure that everything is in order. And so Pharaoh appointed Joseph. And Joseph was second in charge over all the land of Egypt. And so we see that whenever we tap into God's economy, that there is a blessing. When you think about God, he lives in a kingdom with streets made of gold and gates made of pearls. And then not only that, but just think of this, that God's resources are unlimited. God's resources are unlimited, Philippians 4:19. And so when you tap into God's economy, you tap into an economy that's filled with wealth, and you tap into an economy that has unlimited resources. I always quote what Hudson Taylor said when he was going through some difficult times as a missionary in China, and he wrote to his wife, and he said that all we have is 25 cents and all the promises of God. Think about that. All we have is 25 cents and all the promises, all the resources of God. What was he saying? He's saying that we can tap into unlimited. And then let me give you the 3-point outline that we operated from last week, and then I'll get into today's message. The 3-point outline, we looked at the philosophies of God's economy, we looked at the provisions in God's economy, and we looked at the participants in God's economy. So I'm not going to go over all that. You can get the message from last week where we went and talked about those things in detail. But if you'll move up to the slide that says the money mindsets, and we see that if you're going to be in God's economy, there is a key to operating in God's economy. We see that there are 3 types of mindsets. There is the self-centered mindset that says all that I have is mine. That means that God doesn't own anything, right? But all I have is mine. There is the mindset of the saint, which is what many Christians have, many believers have. They say that 10% belongs to God, which a part of what I have belongs to God. And so I say that those first two mindsets are wrong. Those first two mindsets are wrong because the third mindset is how we operate in God's economy, and that is the mindset of a steward that says all of it belongs to God. 100% belongs to God. And we saw that in a couple of verses where it talked about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. And God, in Psalm 50, verse 10, he said that I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. So God has an economy, and it's an economy that's separate from the rest of the world's economy. I remember when God called me to go to seminary, and I, at the time, we just had one child, Nicole, and I left Angie and Nicole in New Mexico and drove from New Mexico to Lynchburg, Virginia, right? And I think I had a couple hundred dollars in my pocket, enough for, it might have got me one tank of gas a day, but it was enough gas to get me from New Mexico to Colorado. And beyond that, I didn't know where I was going to stay. And, you know, I had a little concerns about going to Lynchburg, Virginia. And then I found out that it was actually named after a guy named John Lynch. That's how I got his name. But we see that as I got there, I ran into a guy, and I've told this story before, so I'm going to, again, cut down on all the details. But I ran into a guy by the name of Pastor Alan McFarland, who became one of my very, very good friends. And I remember the first question that I asked him, because I didn't have a place to stay, didn't have a job, didn't have anything. And I remember asking Alan McFarland, I said, "Hey, is it hard getting jobs here in Lynchburg?" And he told me something that I've told people time and time again. I never forgot it. He said, "If your heart is right with God, you will have no problem getting a job." Wow! If your heart is right with God, you'll have no problem getting a job. You know, he was absolutely right. And so when we operate on God's economy, that we have to line up with God's economy, that we have to live according to God's principles, we have to live according to God's standards. And if we fail to see ourselves as stewards, acknowledging the fact that God owns it all, and we are stewards. If you go to that next slide, please, where it talks about a steward. What is a steward? The word steward comes from the Greek term oikonomos, which was used to refer to a person who managed a household. In the Apostle Paul's day, the word was also used of an individual who was put in charge of managing a business for another person. The manager was not the owner, but was authorized to act on behalf of the owner. That we are not, and I know that there will be many that will frown at what I'm getting ready to say. There are many that will bristle at what I'm getting ready to say. But the bottom line is, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the bottom line is, if he owns all the cattle on the thousand hills, the bottom line is that God owns it all. You can say that you got a house, you got a car, you got clothes, you got a bank account, but the fact of the matter is that it all belongs to God. And unless I get that perspective on things, that I'm off kilter, that I'm operating from a false premises as a child of God. Now again, I've been blessed with a car, then I need to take care of that car. Right? Because why? This is God's ride. This is what God gave me. If I've been blessed with a house, you know, thank God he allows me to enjoy the benefits of using it. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man or a woman be found faithful." Faithful. A steward must be faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? That if you own the means that you are trustworthy. It means that God can stand there and he can fall back knowing that he can trust you to get it. Now let's put that in a different scenario. What if God, and again, you know, God does not need us. Let me get that straight right from here. You know, God does not need us. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But according to his plan, he involves us. What a blessing it is to know that God not only saves us, but now he blesses us to be a part of his kingdom. And now God says that the thing that I require of you, that you are a steward. And the thing that I require of you is that you are faithful. And so I should be able to stand there and fall back, knowing that the way that you handle your finances, fall back, knowing that you are reliable, that you are dependable, and that you are trustworthy. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a person be found faithful. And so, you know, I realize that, you know, as I operate my finances, that, you know, so again, I see people disagreeing in their mind. But that, you know, again, I'm not saying if I go buy a bottle of water, right, that I have to say, God, should I buy this bottle of water? No, that's not what it means to be a steward. But it means that when you spend your money and you make major decisions about how you spend your money, that there's a consultant that you confer with. That you just don't jump out there. Oh, I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. I'm getting ready to get in trouble. You just don't jump out there and buy a big screen TV. Right? I mean, I don't care how much money you have. You should say, Lord, this is your money. These are your resources. Is this something, Lord, that you would have me to do? Now, again, God is not against you having a big screen. You know, I got a big screen in my house. I'm not going to tell how many big screens I got. Right? But if I'm spending, if God owns it all, and I'm inviting him in, or he's inviting me in to be a part of this financial relationship, I think it would behoove us to ask the question, Lord, is this approved by you? Is this okay with you? And we should be dependable with the resources that God has given us. We see that even Joseph, that he was a steward over Potiphar's household. That look what Genesis 39, verses 4 and 5. It says, the Bible says that Potiphar made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So we see a perfect example of a steward. That Joseph was a steward in Potiphar's house. What an example. I want to talk to you this morning. Four traits of a faithful steward in God's economy. Four traits of a faithful steward in God's economy. The first trait is this. Faithful stewards realize they are managers and not owners. And I've read these verses already. That's the first point. That you realize that you are a manager and not an owner. I remember when I was in Colorado and my pastor had just bought a new vehicle, and it was a bad day, that snowing outside, and I got a call that his wife had been in an accident, and that the brand new vehicle that my pastor had bought, his wife hit an ice patch, the vehicle turned over and was totaled. And I remember talking to my pastor after that, and I said, see, now here Bill Glaze, young Christian in the Lord, right? He got a worldly mindset. And I remember saying to my pastor, oh, pastor, man, I said, you just bought that vehicle. You know, isn't it something, man, you know, that you know, you just bought it. Now it's all wrecked up. I'll never forget what he said. He said, Bill, I'm glad that God would rather have me have a wrecked vehicle than a wrecked wife. I said, hey, man, I mean, that just floored me. And what did he realize? He realized that what he had belonged to God. And that God gives and God allows it to be taken away. And the fact is that he realized that he was just a manager of that vehicle that God had given him. He was just so grateful that the Lord did not allow his wife to be injured. And you know, that's, and I thought to myself, you know, that's the mindset of somebody who is a manager and not an owner. Because many people would have got upset. You know, oh man, I can't believe that my vehicle was wrecked. I just bought the thing. It's just gone off like that. And I think that sometimes when we look at things from that standpoint, that might show where our heart is at. Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is at. And so if our heart is wrapped up into material things, when material things are damaged, it does great damage to our souls because we are so invested in that. I spoke a couple of weeks ago for a group, and they gave me a real nice honorarium. I mean, it was real nice. And the Lord spoke to me and said that, you know, don't take it, give it back. You talking to me? I went and I gave it back to him. Then I started having all kind of problems, you know, things breaking down, vehicles need to be inspected. And I began to think, I said, man, I really should have took that. I really should have took that. You know, I could use it right now. And the Lord came back and just said to me, he said that, I got you, man. He said, I got you. And it wasn't shortly after that I did a couple things and got back more than what that offering, what they gave me. And so you realize that. I mean, I could have looked at it and said, well, you know, I got this to do, I got that due, and you know, I got to make sure I can pay this and pay that. But the Lord said, give it back. You're not an owner, you're a manager. And as we take that attitude, God is going to take care of us. He's going to make sure that we have what we need. And so the first thing that we have to understand is that faithful stewards realize they are managers and not owners. Oh, this one right here. Faithful stewards have to realize or view money as a servant and not as a master. That you have to, if you are a faithful steward, that you have to view.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy. From our series, 75060. Keep in mind, the entire series, God's Economy, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be in the Lord.